You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Denver Sports Podcast. I'm Harrison Wynn. We're presented by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. Pick up some Broncos Country Pale Ale today. You can get it wherever they sell Breck Brew. If you don't know where to get Breck Brew, check out their beer locator online. Just type in your zip code. Shows you exactly where to get Breckenridge Brewery. My guest on this week's TDSP is Kristen Peek, who covers the NBA draft, college basketball, really all levels of basketball for Yahoo Sports. She's got a ton of insight on the entire college basketball scene. But today we were talking about Cody Williams, the freshman from Colorado, who's having a really strong season and who Kristen just mocked number one in her mock draft on Yahoo. So we talked about Cody Williams's freshman season, his backstory, why he ended up at Colorado, and kind of his view in the eyes of NBA scouts and talent evaluators. Kristen knows these prospects. She knows their games, but she also knows their backstories. Like, she knows all these people as actual people. So she really gave some cool insight into who Cody Williams is as a person, his family, why he picked Colorado in the first place, and just the type of kid that whoever drafts him is going to get. So it was a really good conversation, and let's get to that now. My guest on the Denver Sports Podcast this week, Kristen Peek, who covers the NBA draft and all of basketball for Yahoo Sports. Kristen, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
So Cody Williams, I think one of the best players CU's definitely had in the Tad Boyle era. Not that hot of a take there, but you projected him to go number one on your latest mock draft. And I mean, I feel like you know the college basketball scene and these guys better than anybody. So I want to have you on to, you know, discuss Cody Williams and his season and what you think of him as an NBA prospect. But first, though, Cody Williams is a five-star recruit who's not from Colorado. He's from Arizona. He's got a brother, Jalen Williams, who went to college at Santa Clara, who is also from Arizona. My biggest question when this college season started and about Cody Williams was, how did this guy wind up at Colorado? Because it seems like there could have been a lot of other places that he definitely could have played basketball and that he was maybe even more likely to go. So why do you think he is in Boulder and is at University of Colorado?
Well, a lot of people don't know this, but Cody and his brother were actually born in Colorado. They were born in Denver. His parents are both military parents. His mom is a military nurse, and they lived in Colorado. They lived in the Denver area until about Cody was three, and then they moved to Arizona. So they still have family there. And when I asked Cody the same question, like, why Colorado? Why? And he's like, I just took my visit and it felt like home. And just seeing my brother go through a similar process where he went to Santa Clara, he didn't follow like the big blue blood name. He didn't chase that. And he told Cody the same thing. You need to go where it feels like home, where you're going to be coached and be able to grow as a player. And CU was the best fit for him. And you know, when we look at Cody's game and his rise, he was a late bloomer in high school. I think he was a little bit of a late bloomer to start the season, but he's never been one of those players, you know, like at McDonald's All-American game or Nike Hoop Summit where he's putting up these ridiculous numbers because he's a system guy. And he loves to just immerse himself into a system, into a team, learn his part, and then be better than everybody else at it. And that's what we're seeing as league play has started in the Pac-12.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I feel like that tells me a lot about Cody Williams right there, because so many kids, I feel like in his situation, would have been just like, I'm going to Arizona, or I'm going to, you know, UCLA, I'm going to Kentucky, one of those big schools. The fact that he looked at Colorado and said, like, that's a place I can learn and grow and like actually learn how to play the game the right way. Like, you were, I feel like that tells me a lot about him.
Yeah, he's a great kid. I mean, his brother is fantastic. I remember the night before the draft, when Jalen was being drafted, I went to interview Chet and Paolo, and Jalen was just like hanging out at this barbershop. It was, they had like a set there. So I'm talking to Jalen. I was like, Jalen, you ready for tomorrow? And he's just like, yeah. I'm like, are you nervous? And he goes, no, I'm just trying to check my grades from finals. Like, I got to make sure that I pass this. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? You're going to be an NBA player tomorrow. Like, why are you worried about finals grades? You know, but these both boys are just so smart. You know, they come from a great family, great parents. And when NBA teams start to do their intel and background and everything, like, if you look at how productive Jalen has been, how coachable he's been at OKC, and you see little brother coming up, of course someone's going to take a look at him at number one. I mean, to me, it's either going to be him, Alex Sarr. I think Nikola Topic could get a look depending on the teams that where they fall in the draft lottery. But this draft is so wide open. There isn't a clear cut number one consensus overall pick. So 5 months before the draft, Cody Williams, you're number one.
Definitely. Yeah. I don't think a bad final exam in communications was going to take Jalen Williams off the Oklahoma City draft board. I don't think that was going to cost him. I definitely want to get to your mock in a little bit, though. I do feel like the way you describe Cody Williams is in a way very similar to a lot of the other best players that have come through CU in the Tad Boyle era, because CU's specialty, I feel like over the last 10 years, based on all the good players they found, is these diamond in the roughs, kind of late bloomer guys who have like really interesting positional size and skill, but they just don't feel like your traditional players. And I'm thinking about the Alec Burkses of the world, the Spencer Dinwiddies of the world, the Andre Robertsons of the world. And I know Cody Williams was a five-star. I mean, very highly regarded. But the uniqueness of him and the fact that you call him a late bloomer kind of reminded me of those other guys too. And he kind of fits what Tad Boyle's always liked.
Yeah, and I mean, Tad Boyle had to be, you know, I want to say that Cody is the highest recruit that Tad Boyle has ever landed. I'm pretty sure that's correct.
I think that's correct, yeah.
And, you know, for him to not even entertain other schools that were trying to come in late and just say, no, coach, I'm committed to you. And then you see him on the floor. Like, I think if it was up to Cody, he would play all 4 years at CU. This isn't a guy that's like chasing money or chasing the fame of being in the NBA. He just loves basketball. And you put him at the wing position, he's so versatile. He can guard 1 through 4. And so to have a guy like that come in as a freshman and be an instant impact in a more veteran team is really for NBA teams that are possibly going to pick towards the top of the draft. And I mean, I think it's encouraging in terms of like, because he was a late bloomer, he doesn't know his ceiling yet.
What kind of kid is he off the court? You kind of spoke about this a little, but he seems like somebody who's about all the right things and not a guy who's, you know, caught up in the limelight. Like, if an NBA team gets this guy, what kind of kid are they getting?
I mean, stand up kid, him and his brother both. Like I said, he comes from a great family. He's a good teammate. Like him and Koa Pete, who's one of the top players in the junior class right now, won, I think, back-to-back state titles at Perry High School. You know, so he's someone that makes players around him better, but off the court, great teammate, no locker room issues. He's very smart. And that I've ever had a chance to cover.
Gotcha. So we're approaching March of the college season. He's had a solid season so far, 15 points per game, 4 rebounds, 2.5 assists, around 1 steal, around 1 block as well. Has he exceeded your expectations? Has he been about what you thought he was going to be? What have you just thought of his season so far?
I think, you know, like what I mentioned, how he had a slow start, and that's, I expected that. But now that he's settled into the system, he's kind of adjusted to the pace of the college game and let the game come to him. He's not forcing anything, right? And so we're seeing these like little glimpses of like, whoa, I didn't know he could do that. Like one step off the dribble, you know, to a poster dunk, like
yeah,
that little things like that I wasn't seeing in high school, and you're seeing his game has really been encouraging. And I would say he hasn't exceeded my expectations, but there's definitely players that were 5-star caliber who are definitely not meeting my expectations from this season.
Right. When I've watched him this year, it's so obvious when you like turn on a college game and you see a guy who just looks different than everybody else in terms of how he moves, in terms of how he just sees the floor and sees the game. And that's so obvious to me when I'm watching Cody Williams. You can turn on a CU game and within 2 minutes, you're like, oh yeah, there's the first round pick. Like, he just moves different. His athleticism, CU's playing him at point guard a lot, especially late in games. I mean, they have a pretty veteran roster, but it's obvious like how much trust that coaching staff has with him already. The eye test with him, he passes it with flying colors. He just looks like an NBA player every time I've turned on the film of him.
Yeah. There's nothing more that NBA scouts love than youth, versatility, and length. And Cody has all three.
Yeah.
And so when you're looking at the top of the draft, I mean, yeah, you've got Alex Starr, the 7'1" versatile center, you know, if you want to go that route. But if you're looking for a better defending Jaden McDaniels, I'm pretty sure like that's who Cody Williams is.
That's my NBA comp for him. I feel like it's an easy one, but it's just obvious. And I feel like that's almost kind of his floor a little bit. Jaden, like he's going to be a great defender, similar size, 6'8", 6'9", smart, high IQ. I was going to ask you for your NBA comp for him, but it seems like it is McDaniels.
Yeah. I mean, that's the one I keep hearing from scouts around the league. Like you said, you'd watch him in a couple games and that's just who he reminds everyone of.
Does he just scream like all defense type of upside, and like defense is going to be how he makes like a lot of his money and makes a big career for himself on that end of the floor?
I think defense is what will get him early minutes in the NBA, but it's going to start coming around. The older he gets, the stronger he gets, you know, kind of similar to his brother. You know, mm-hmm. His brother earned minutes early on, you know, locking up all of the big time NBA players like LeBron and KD and early on. And so I see Cody kind of having a similar path.
All right, we'll get back to that conversation with Kristen in 1 second. At DraftKings Sportsbook right now, the NBA season is in full swing. And when I can't get enough of the action on the court, I like to spice things up betting with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Nuggets Blazers tonight, Friday night at Ball Arena. Obviously, the Nuggets money line is insane, but I take the spread as well. I think the Nuggets might blow out this Portland team tonight, just based off talent alone and the fact that Denver's at home. They don't usually lose at home, as we know. So I'm taking Denver tonight, even with the spread. Make sure to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code DNVR. New customers can bet just $5 on the NBA. Get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code DNVR. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problems with gambling. Call 888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after assurance. See dkng.com/basketball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. How big of a fan were you of his brother when he was coming out? Because I remember he was a guy, and again, like, I'm paying attention to college and, you know, the top prospects probably from March through the NBA draft. So I'm scouting like an amateur here, but I remember him as, you know, Santa Clara, everybody liked him. And then, you know, once we got close to the draft, he was like shooting up draft boards.
Yeah, and this happens every year at the NBA Draft Combine. Jalen came in and just, it was clear as day, especially when once the 5-on-5 started, that he was shooting up draft boards and was going to earn himself a lot of money. That was after day one. And usually what happens at the NBA Draft Combine is if you play well enough the first day, then your agent or whoever says, okay, shut it down. You don't have to play another minute. Like, there's going to be a team in those first 14 spots that's going to take you. But Jalen played the second day. And so after the game, I said, Jalen, was there talk of shutting it down? Like, were you planning on shutting it down? He said, no, I came to Chicago to play. Why wouldn't I play both days? And he said, well, was there a conversation? He said, yeah, but it was 2 seconds. I said, no, I'm playing. So having that sort of mentality and just saying like, okay, I'm not going to play it safe. I hate it when guys sit out. I hate it so much. And instead he's just like, no, I'm here to compete. I'm here to show all these NBA scouts that I can perform at a high level. I'm not just some mid-major production player. Like, I can compete at the highest level. And he did.
And I'm sure if you're an NBA team, you love to hear that too. And I'm sure as an NBA team, you hate to hear when a guy has one good game and he's like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah.
I remember when the Nuggets drafted Bones Highland a couple of years ago. One thing they loved was that he went to the combine and absolutely balled out. Like, I remember Tim Connelly telling us that, like, we loved just how he competed in that environment. So I feel like that is a huge thing for NBA teams. Absolutely.
Yeah, we all walk in that and we're just like, all right, who's going to make themselves millions of dollars today? Because there's always one or two players that just completely like just shoot up draft boards just from the draft combine scrimmages. I love seeing it.
Yeah. So you've got him number one in your mock, Cody Williams, right now. You're the only one I've seen who's had him number one in their mock. What was the deciding factor in your mind that made you want to put him number one?
I would say this. I mean, you're seeing Alex Saar's name a lot. He's probably like the most consistent one. I think, like I said, I think either Nikola Topic or Zachary Richiche, the 6'8 shooting wing out of France, another French. Mm-hmm. Alex Saar and Zachary are both French. By the way, there's going to be maybe 5 French players taken in the first round this year, which is insane. The amount of talent coming out of France is crazy. And if I'm the Spurs, I draft every single one of them. It doesn't matter.
Well,
doesn't matter where you fall.
One of the guys play with Wembanyama like growing up?
So Jeremy Sochan, who is currently on the Spurs.
Spurs, yeah.
They grew up playing one another. And so it was like the stars aligning when San Antonio had the number one pick. But Wimby shares the same agent with Tijon Salon, who's a projected lottery pick. And then also Melvin, I can't think of his last name, another French player who's a projected first rounder. And so they all know each other. They're very familiar. But it's It's gonna be fun to watch, I think. I'm gonna write about it eventually. My editor's like, calm down. It's January, February. No one's gonna care about, you know, the Wimby wave of talent coming up until closer to the draft.
The Wimby wave, that's good. You should yeah. trademark that.
That's gonna be the hook.
Yeah, that's good. But Cody Williams, like, number one, why'd you put him number one? Like, why do you feel like he's the best prospect in this draft?
I would say his upside, his versatility, and the fact that, you know, defensively, he's going to see minutes right away. He shoots the ball fine. Detroit or Washington getting that first pick, they need someone with versatility. They don't necessarily need a center. They don't necessarily need only Jacoby Walter, who's, I think, the best shooting guard in the top five, top 10. Like, you bring in somebody with versatility, someone that can be plug and played in different positions. And offensively, I don't think Detroit is horrible. They're losing a lot of games. But if you can have someone that can turn defense into easy offense in transition, then that's at least a step in the right direction.
Yeah. Detroit, Washington. Who has the number three pick?
San Antonio.
The Spurs, probably.
The Spurs.
Cody Williams with Victor Wembanyama would be crazy. But they'll probably take one of the French guys.
They need a point guard. They need San Antonio needs either Nikola Topic or Rob Dillingham, who's the point guard at Kentucky this year.
Yeah.
Because they need someone to get Wimby the ball way more often.
Why do you think the top players in this draft, other than Cody Williams, are all not American? What's your take on that?
It's just that type of year and that type of draft class. I mean, we talked about this offline before we jumped on, but I would much rather have a late first round, early second round pick than anything in the top five, because you don't know what you're getting. I mean, somebody has to be picked. There are going to be players in this draft that have long NBA careers, but nobody knows where they're going to end up. Like, the 58th pick of the draft could end up being an all-star, and we have no idea. And the thing is, with this draft, with so much just room and uncertainty, like, nothing is really, like, falling into line yet. Usually by this time, we at least know who's going to go number one, and that's not the case. But the international players are just producing at just such a high rate. And with Alex Sarr specifically, I mean, him and Topic are out with minor injuries right now. But when Alex Sarr came over, he's playing for the Perth Wildcats. When they came over to play the G League Ignite, there was one play, just one, where he blocked Ron Holland, stared him down, ran down the other way, and hit a transition three. And there was a scout sitting next to me, and he's like, I've seen all I need to see. He's a top five player. I'm like, it's from one play. But I went over and saw Alex in Australia in November, and he's playing very consistent over there against grown men, against some players mm-hmm. that are, you know, in their 30s, and at 18 and 19, he's finding ways to be productive.
So is part of the reason why you've got Cody Williams at one is because, A, you know what you're getting from him. You know he's going to be a great defender. You know he's got the size, the athleticism, the IQ, and his floor might be a little bit higher than some of these other guys, because a lot of international guys, but like you said, a guy like Sarr, he's playing against, you know, professionals, so maybe his floor is a little bit higher. But it seems like with Cody Williams, teams might know what they're getting a little more than with some of these other guys.
Yeah, and I mean, anytime, it's so funny because, like, I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth here, because you see, you know, NBA teams that value one-and-done prospects because they can bring them in at 18, 19 or 20 and implement their system, get them with their nutritionist, just kind of immerse them in whatever culture that they have for that team. But yeah, on the flip side, you have someone like Jaime Jaquez in Miami, and, you know, Eric Spoelstra is telling me, oh, we valued that he was a four-year player, that he got better each and every year. But Jaime is 22, 23, as opposed to 19.
Right.
You know, so it's so interesting. But I think especially towards the top of the draft, the one and dones are valued because of that, because they're going to get more years out of them.
Yeah,
than someone like Jaime. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny, though. I had a GM tell me that he'll never take a one and done prospect in the draft because he doesn't feel like they have the same level of work ethic and like the same hunger that some 3 and 4 year guys may have. And of course, like case by case basis, that doesn't speak for every one and done prospect. But I feel like obviously, depending on where you pick, there is a lot of value in, you know, the more experienced guys and like the guys who really have had to work for what they've gotten in a way.
I know.
Yeah.
I think I mocked Dylan Jones, who's at Weber State, 4 year player, going to Denver. You know, what do you guys have? The 26th pick, I think. And I love Dylan Jones, 6'6", bigger guard, but like you said, that 4 year player, he broke the record at Weber State for steals. He's second in assists. He's going to break that. He's not going to catch Dame for points, but this guy is like a walking triple-double every night at Weber State.
That seems like a Calvin Booth guy. That seems like Jalen Pickett, but at Weber State.
Exactly. Yeah. I know. Because my brother is a massive Denver Nuggets fan. And so when I mocked Dylan to the Nuggets, Adam's like, is this happening? This would be amazing.
Yeah. I mean, if you're looking for a guy the Nuggets are going to take, I would look at 3 and 4 year guys who can do a little bit of everything, because that's been who they've drafted the last couple of years under Calvin Booth.
Right.
So when you're watching Cody Williams over the rest of the season, what do you think NBA scouts still want to see from him throughout the rest of his time at CU?
So the biggest thing for Cody, I think, and what NBA guys they're going to be watching and what I'll be watching is his shot creation off the dribble. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's got the length, but it's creating that separation, consistently shooting off the dribble. That's a big thing. Like, you can be, you know, and still get attention from NBA scouts. But if you are a two-way player that can create off the dribble and also get to your spots with ease, that's something that, you know, we talk about his defense, but that's something that'll make him kind of like the two-way threat as a player offensively and defensively. So that's what I'll be watching specifically tomorrow when they come to Utah.
Well, that's also something that could separate him from Jaden McDaniels, you know, his most likely comp, because McDaniels, he's all defense right now, and like he's had a kind of disappointing offensive season. So that, you know, that's something that could help him surpass that comp for sure.
Yes.
Hey, thanks so much for joining me. That was awesome. A lot of insight on Cody Williams. Thank you so much, Kristen.
Thanks for having me. Anytime.
Guys, if you need tickets to concert shows, sporting events, you got to go with Game Time. They got these great last minute tickets, lowest prices as well. Right now, you can go to Nuggets Blazers for $35. That's the cheapest I'm seeing on Game Time. That's upper level, though. Let me look at lower level here. Lower level Nuggets Blazers on Game Time right now, $50. Not bad. You can see Nikola Jokic for $50. Concert show, sporting events, whatever you need, check out the Game Time app. Download the Game Time app. If you're a new user, create an account. Use code DNVR for $20 off your first purchase, so you could sit lower level for $30 as of right now. Download the Game Time app. Create an account. Use code DNVR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. Also, shout out to Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR, and the beer of the month for the month of February, the Avalanche Ale. Fitting with the Avs playing so well They're in the All-Star break right now, but they'll be out of it next week, and they're looking like they can win another Stanley Cup. Enjoy some Avalanche Ale this month. You can get it here at the DNVR Bar, corner Colfax and York. You can get it wherever they sell Breckenridge Brewery. If you don't know where to get Breck Brew, check out their beer locator online, breckbrew.com. Just type in your zip code. Shows you exactly where to get Breck Brew. If you're local and at the DNVR Bar, you can try out some of our other favorites as well. The Mile High City, the Broncos Country Pale Ale, the Funslinger Good Company Hard Seltzers as well. But if you're not local, check out their beer locator, breckbrew.com. All right, thanks to Kristen for coming on. You can follow her on Twitter at Kristen Peek, KristenPeek. Check out her mock draft. She's got Cody Williams number one on Yahoo Sports. She's a great resource for, you know, all things basketball, especially the college scene. That's going to do it for this week's The Denver Sports Podcast. Thanks for listening. If you're watching on YouTube, click that thumbs up button. Would really appreciate it. If you're listening to this as a podcast, leave me a review. And we'll be back with another guest next week. Talk to you then.
We all silly like the mayor.